Good morning, everyone. Thank you. Thank you, Rabbi Stuberger. And thank you, Rabbi David, for putting this together and giving me the opportunity. And just to echo what the Rosh Yeshiva said, indeed, it's a credit to all those who join us on a vacation day. Although, like someone said to me recently, nowadays, every day is Sunday except for Shabbos. So it's really, but yes, yashar koach to all of you. What I want to talk about this morning is an interesting topic in halacha, which is not so often discussed, what's called preemptive attacks in halacha. And it's a discussion which came up with a number of years ago when we were celebrating the 50th year of celebration of Yom Yerushalayim. And we know that in 1948, when the Medina was founded, it was a source of tremendous, tremendous pride for many, many people. It gave encouragement and a place for us to live in that sense. But still many people, both in Israel and diaspora, felt that the simcha, the joy, and the ability even to live in a sovereign government of our own was marred by the fact that we only had part of Yerushalayim. And part of Yerushalayim was, and the part that hosted and had the Kosel and the Ahar HaBayis was not in our hands. And arguably, there are many people who felt that indeed the victory of the Six-Day War had almost a greater impact on the Jewish people in large, not only in Israel, but in the diaspora, more than 1948. The Six-Day War, 1967, we know, was a terrible, terrible moment of fear for the people living in Israel. We were surrounded by primarily four major Arab countries who were supported by many others, and they were being supplied, military supplied by the Russians. It was almost inevitable that the victory was going to be, that they were going to be victorious. Egypt managed somehow to kick out the UN border patrol, just literally sent them home, and they just packed up their bags and left. A very shocking, shocking reaction when they saw what was happening. They were there, they were meant to be the peacekeepers, and they just literally left the Jews, abandoned the Jewish people, abandoned the Jewish state. It was a very tough decision. Levi Eshkol was the prime minister then. Many people felt he was way over his head. Ben-Gurion, Menachem Begin actually tried to push Levi Eshkol out of office and have Ben-Gurion lead the charge during that time. Eshkol listened, even though they're opposition, but they were very close friends, and he resisted. He resisted. So ultimately, Levi Eshkol led the charge. But he was pushed by Menachem Begin. Menachem Begin was the one who pushed him to do the preemptive attack, led eventually by the chief of defense, was Yitzhak Rabin, and by the minister of defense was Moshe Dayan. The victory, if we may say, on a Derech HaTeva, putting aside the Yad Hashem that took place in every moment, everything, but specifically in that war, was an obvious Yad Hashem. If you know the history about both what happened in Israel and even the lack of defense that was offered by the Egyptian nation, who were really there to attack us heavy-handed. We were outflanked by over 100,000 men. They had 2.5 times the amount of tanks that we had. They had double the amount of airplanes that we had. And it was just the phenomenal Yad Hashem that brought everything together. The time that Israel attacked, when the lack of defense that Egypt had, because they were so surprised, there was no one there to man the defense. And it just was an absolute victory. But from a strategic point of view, from a military point of view, everyone recognizes that it was the preemptive attack that gave Israel the victory. They destroyed in one shot pretty much 2/3 of their air force. They destroyed their runways. They wiped out many of their tanks. The battle was pretty much won in the first day or two. Indeed, you contrast that to the Yom Kippur War, when Golda Meir resisted from taking the first shot because she was afraid of American response. She was afraid, not necessarily wrongly, but she was afraid that America would not supply them with military supplies had they taken the first shot. And we know there was a tragic loss. 2,500 Israeli soldiers were killed during the Yom Kippur War. And although we ended up garnering more land and gaining more land, but it was considered a loss. It was definitely considered a loss for our people. And she bore the weight of that decision of not doing the preemptive attack. So looking back in hindsight, we have that 2020 hindsight to say what was good and what wasn't good. But of course, we always like to get a sense of, through the eyes of halacha, what is the halachic perspective of preemptive attacks? Is it indeed something which is permitted halachically or not? So we're going to begin the discussion with the psukim that talk about going to melchama, going to war. And we know that the Torah tells us there are X amount of people who are free, who are relieved from military duty. And the Torah tells us famously in Sefer Devarim, if a person had bought a bayis chadash and he never had a chance to live in it, or if he planted a new vineyard and never had a chance to use it, if he's newly married, someone's newly engaged, and didn't have a chance to be with his wife, all these situations are people are sent home. People are sent home, and the svara, the logic being, because they're going to be so distracted by the fact that they're unable to benefit and use, they put so much time and effort in creating their home and getting engaged, and now they're going to be shipped off to war, and who knows who's going to live in the house, benefit from the vineyard, marry that wife, and they'll be unable to probably focus in war. And therefore, the Torah says, send them home. Send them home, let them deal with what they have to deal with, and we'll get someone else to who could be more focused on war. As the pasuk writes, because they're nervous. They're nervous they're going to die at war, and someone else will take the wife, someone else will live in the house. So that's the introduction to the concept of war, in the sense, not just talking about wars per se, but talking about the concept that we have requirements of who qualifies as a soldier, does not qualify as a soldier, and what the focus is, because we did want to make sure that we have a successful victory. The Mishnah in Masechta Sota famously qualifies that discussion of the Torah, and not only talks about the people, the soldiers, what is the quality of a soldier we're looking for, but more talks about the actual war itself. And the Mishnah distinguishes between when the Torah says that we could send some people home and they should not engage in battle, they should not participate in the war, but therefore, that's a specific, depends on what type of war. And the Mishnah tells us this, Mishnah is going to use three different terminologies of defining different types of mechamas. So the first part of the Mishnah Sota said, what's this referring to? The mechamas reshus, a discretionary war. And we'll soon see from the Gemara, and I'll put up the source sheet in a minute, Mr. Hashem, what's called a mechamas reshus, discretionary war, of a mechamas mitzvah. But if it's obligatory, if it's a mitzvah to go to the war, so hakol yotzin, everyone goes out. A few chosin mechedru v'kal mechupasel, even a chosin from his room and a kal from a chuppah. Now, even people about to get married, they're standing on the brink of their wedding. They have to the siren goes off. We rush him out. We shut down the chasim. We rush him out and send him off to battle. If it's a mechamas mitzvah, that's the opinion of the Tana Kama, which we're going to call the Rabbanan. So they say there's two types of war. There's the war called Rishus, and there's the war called Mitzvah. Amar Reb Yehuda, B'med Devam Amurim, he qualifies that. He says, no, when do we say that we talk about the different types of soldiers, who does and who does not have an obligation to go to war? He uses different terminologies. He's discussing the same point as the Rabbanan, but he's using different terminologies. He says, B'mechamas Mitzvah. That's only speaking about when do we say people are free from the military duty. That's speaking about Mechamas Mitzvah. But Mechamas Chova, but an obligatory war, they have to participate in the war. So we have two opinions in the Mishnah, Rabbanan and Rabbi Yehuda, and they're both kind of saying the same thing. They're both discussing when we do and when we do not free from duty various soldiers, as we spoke about for the Psukim, but they use different terminologies. Rabbanan uses a terminology called Rishus and Mitzvah, and Rabbi Yehuda uses a terminology of mitzvah and chova. Now, this machlokas is discussed in the Gemara. Let's put up the source sheet briefly. If you can see it on the top, the Gemara Sota. So Gemara says that b'mechamas, the Gemara says the following, b'med devam amur, b'mechamas rishus. So Amar Rav Yochanan, Rav Yochanan says, rishus de Rabbanan zui mitzvah de Rabbi Yehuda. What the first opinion, what the Rabbanan called a rishus, Rabbi Yehuda is calling a mitzvah. And a mitzvah, the Rabbanan, the next level up, the more obligatory level of war, which everyone has to participate, when the Rabbanan called it a mitzvah, Rabbi Yehuda called it a chova. And therefore, said Rabbi Yochanan, then indeed there is no argument. There is no argument between Rabbanan and Rabbi Yehuda. It's just semantics, which is a strange interpretation of the Mishnah, but that's what Rabbi Yochanan says. It's semantics. Really, it's the same thing. There's two levels, mitzvah and rishus and mitzvah, or mitzvah and chovah, but there's only two levels. Amar Rava, Rava says no. Rava argues. And he says, Mechamas Yoshua l'chat l'chavesh diver kol chova. He says, when we talk about capturing the land, and he's going to give more specific guidelines on how we define each of these terms. When the Torah talked about, for example, Yoshua going into the land of Eretz Yisrael and capturing the seven nations and taking over the land, that's a chova, that's an obligation. That's one extreme. Mechamas beis David l'vacha, the Mechama of Beis David to expand the borders of Eretz Yisrael, Rishus, that's a discretionary Mechama, you don't have to participate, we don't obligate those people that we mentioned in the Pesukim earlier to go to war. So Chova, a terminology used by Rabbi Yehud in the Mishnah, obligatory, everyone agrees everyone has to participate. Rishus is an absolute discretionary, everyone agrees that you do not have to participate. Keep pligi, but so when is the machlokas between the two opinions in the Mishnah of Rabbanan Rabbi Yehuda? Limute of the kachom de lalesi alayu. That when we talk about helping prevent the avoid the goyim, the Gentiles of the world, the Gentiles of surrounding nations, that they should not come upon us. So ma kari le mitzvah, u ma kari reshus. One man diyama calls it a mitzvah, and the other opinion calls it a reshus, calls it an option, a discretionary option. What's the nafkimina, what I call it? So the Gemara says a fascinating difference. The Gemara says the difference between what it's going to be considered a mitzvah or not is a la'asuk b'mitzvah shepotim in a mitzvah. The famous classic example, the famous rule we know, there's a golden rule called oisik b'mitzvah potim in a mitzvah. If you are engaged in one mitzvah, you are free from participating in another mitzvah. And there's a great discussion on this in different Gemaras and amongst the Rishonim. And this will come under that category. If you hold that this type of what's called minimizing or preventing the nations from attacking us, that's called a reshus. So then partial, obviously, I don't have to participate. There's no obligation to go. But if it's a mitzvah, so then I have an obligation to participate, unless I don't have to participate because I'm already engaged in some type of other mitzvah which is going to prevent me from joining this one. That's the Gemara. So the Gemara already takes another step further, according to the opinion of Rava. The Gemara says that indeed there are three categories. There is Chova, which is capturing the land. There is Rishus, which is just expanding the land. And then there's a third category, which we're not sure how to categorize it. Is it mitzvah, also a mitzvah? Or is it also just a Rishus? Definitely not Chova. This category is definitely not chov, it's not obligatory. The category of lemute of the kachov and the lais yilayu is found in the bold part as well, that the concept of preventing the Gentiles from coming upon us, that's definitely not obligatory. At most, it's a mitzvah, at least it's a reshus. So now, let's just to summarize again, so we start off with the psukim that we talked about. There are certain people who are obligated to participate in war, but there are certain people who are free from military duty depending on certain circumstances and what's going on in their life. The Mishnah tells us that depends. There are different types of war. So when the Psukim said that people may or may not have the obligation to join the military during time of war, it depends what type of war you're talking about. And we brought down two opinions in the Mishnah. We brought down the opinion of Rabbanon and Rabbi Yehuda. And they used, amongst those two opinions, we brought down three terminologies. There was Rishus, there's Mitzvah and Chova. Those are the three terminologies that were brought up between the both of them. Then we brought down, we just brought down the Gemara. The Gemara says that according to Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbanon and Rabbi Yehuda are really not arguing, which is semantics and terminologies. But according to Rava, indeed, there are three categories. One category is Rishus, discretionary, and that's what the Pasuk Psukim were talking about. When we talk about a person not having to go to war, maybe not having to go to war, depending on specific circumstances of their life, if they're newly married, if they just built a house, so they're not obligated because it's a reshus. And that's how you define a mechamas reshus. The Gemara tells us, according to Rava, that's only in a situation where they're like mechamas David, we're trying to expand the borders of Israel. But if it's a mechamas chova, it's obligatory, meaning our job is to capture the land and overtake the nations living in the land, that everyone holds you have to participate. That's Muhammad's Chova. Then Rava introduces a third category, which he calls, that we're trying to prevent Lim'ute, They should not come. The nation, the world, should not attack us. And there, that Rava says is the debate between Rabbanan and Rabbi Yehuda. Is that categorized as a reshus or is it categorized as a mitzvah? Okay. So, like always, we take our next step into halacha and we try to go. We take a look at the Rambam to put up again the source sheets. If you take a look now in the Rambam, okay. So Rambam Hilchos Melachim, the laws that talk about kings, says the following: Ein haMelech Milcham Tchila, a king does not go to war to start. El Melchamis Mitzvah, only by Melchamis Mitzvah, meaning that a king can only opt on his own decision, his own rationale, to go start a war in Melchamis Mitzvah. Because otherwise, if it's only Melchamis Reshus, if he wants to just expand the boundaries and the borders, he must get the full support of the 71 members of the entire Sanhedrin. A king cannot engage and go to war and bring his country to war just for a Reshus, just to expand the borders. But a Melchamis Mitzvah, then the king has that option. The Ezu Melchamis Mitzvah, what's called the Melchamis Mitzvah? So the Rambam says, Melchamis Shiva Amamin, that's the battle fighting the seven nations. That's the battle of capturing the land of Israel. Muhammad's a Moloch. We know there's a mission from the Torah to wipe out a Moloch. And then the Rambam adds another category. Ezras Yisrael miyatzar sheba aleihem. It's helping out Jewish nation from the constraint, from the suffering, from the hardships that are being imposed upon them. That's the third category, words of the Rambam, not words of the mission, not words of the Gemara. And then there's a second type of battle called Melchamas Reshus, which is an optional, discretionary. And that's number one, that's the Melchama, you go to war with other nations. In order to expand the boundaries of Israel, and to expand our reputation and our status. Okay? No, another category, another status, another statement from the Rambam unfound in any place in Chazal. Not in the Mishnah, not in the Gemara. So under the category of Melchamas Mitzvah, Rambam introduces a new type of war called Ezras Yisrael Miyatzar Shebaleim. And under the category of Melchamas Reshus, here again the Rambam introduces a new concept called Lahabos Begdulasa Vishimoy, to expand their name and their reputation. So, in regard to this last, what we just mentioned, the Reshus, so the famous commentator, the Lechem Mishnah, the famous commentator, the 17th century commentator on the Rambam, he said, why does the Rambam not just mention what the Mishnah mentioned, what the Gemara mentions, of what we said earlier, of Lemute of the Kachavim, why don't we just use that terminology, that we want to prevent the grain from coming onto us. So the Lechem Mishnah says it's really one of the same. He says the habas budulasi v'shima is when we flex our muscles, when we show how strong we are, and we intimidate the neighbors around us, and we let them know, like we did in the 6 day, we're able to do b'siyat yishmai in the 6 day war. Indeed, it was a very humbling experience for all of the Arab world, and in fact, many people say that's why Israel ended up failing by the Yom Kippur War, because they were so full of themselves and the victory in the 6 day war, that they didn't take things seriously and they felt that they could win anything. But that concept of habos b'glasa v'shimai, the concept of flexing your muscles and letting people know how strong you are, is pretty much the same thing as preventing other people from attacking you. That's what the Lechem Mishnah says. But we want to focus on what the Rambam introduced in the first category of Melchamas Mitzvah. This new idea of Ezras Yisrael Miyatzar Shebar Aleihem, the helping the Jewish people that they should not become under attack. Now, it's just hearing those words, so naturally we would assume, it's going to scroll up a second, that's very similar if you take a look at the underlying words in the Gemara of the Muta of the Kacham Du Laisi Alayu, we want to prevent the grain from coming upon to us. That sounds like a very similar statement. The Gemara says that it's Ed Kachav Lalai Sirlayu. And the Rambam says that the Ezra Yisrael miyad sarshi baleim, that we're trying to prevent them coming upon us. So possibly you can interpret and say that we are the same thing, but we can't do that because the Rambam himself talks about, when the Rambam talks about what we just mentioned, k'dei l'hachir gevul Yisrael, to expand our borders, l'habos b'dlos v'shimah, and to flex our muscles and show our strength, that he puts under Muhammad's rishus. The Ezra Yisrael miyatzar, he puts that into Muhammad's mitzvah. So it's hard to say that they're really the one or the same. So let's take a look now to the real question about with this Rambam, when he talks about that it's a mitzvah, Ezra Yisrael, that's a mitzvah to prevent people attacking us, is that speaking about that we are under attack already, and therefore we have an obligation, it's a mitzvah to get involved and to go to what everyone has that mitzvah, or was he talking about preemptive? Was he saying that it only refers to a situation where we're not yet being attacked, and we still have the option to attack. And therefore, you'd say, that according to the first explanation, that it means that it's only when we're under attack. So good, that makes sense. It's a mitzvah for us to defend ourselves and to help other Jews be defended. But if you're going to say that it means preemptive, that means the Rambam is telling us that indeed it's a mitzvah. It's a mitzvah to enter into a preemptive war. And indeed, the only people that would be free from obligation of participating were the people who are what's called Isaac b'mitzvah patim in a mitzvah. They're engaged in other mitzvahs. But in essence, it's something which everyone will need to participate. Indeed, the Chazon Ish paskins that this concept that the Rambam talks about, Ezra Yisrael, is only when we are under attack. It does not refer to when a preemptive, and the Chazon Ish paskins that there is no mitzvah and almost no allowance to have a preemptive attack. You can only engage in war when you're under attack already. That's what the Chazon Ish says. But let's take a look, though, in a different Rambam. Okay? So the Rambam says, this is talking about the famous laws of Hichos Rodef, and found in Hichos Rotzeach in the first parak. We know what a Rodef is, a person who is chasing after somebody, and you have an obligation to prevent the murder or the damage. So the Rambam says, Kol yochol lahatziv lo hit. So anybody who's able to save and does not save, Oiver, you transgress a mitzvah l'tamod adam re'echa. You transgress the mitzvah of the negative of do not stand by when your brother's blood is being spilled. And so too, not only if he's being attacked, but if he's suffering, if he's in a perilous state of potential danger, he's drowning at sea, you have an obligation to help him. Or listen to if he becomes under attack by robbers, or Chayrabalov, or he's being attacked by a wild animal, but Yochala Tzilo Huba'atzim, he's able to save himself. Or she yiska achem latzila, or he's able to get others to save him. Velo hitzil, and he does not get involved. I don't want to say this, but he's a New Yorker. Not my business, not my problem. Or she shama avikachavim or meisim mechashavim alay ra. Or he hears about other people who are planning and plotting to do harm to a person. Or they're trying to do something about him, and he does not tell his friend about it. He knows about it, but does not tell his friend about it. Or continues the Rambam, he knows that, again, a similar statement that there's an akum, there's a non-Jew, or something that's going to potentially, some type of challenge which is going to come his way. And he is able to influence, to dissuade a person to cause harm to another Jew. Mashibli, but v'lo piyafaisa, and the person does not get involved. He does not dissuade. He does not use his influence. V'chol kiyotzi b'dvam elun, anything in that similar category, oisem, anyone who stands by, anyone says this is not my problem. Anyone says I do not have an obligation to get involved. Oisa oiva aleisam adam re'echa, you transgress a mitzvah deraisa of watching the blood of your brother being spilled. So that's a roidef. If you see a roidef, you see someone suffering, you see someone he's drowning, you know of somebody who's plotting against another Jew, you have an obligation to prevent that person. You have an obligation to dissuade him from plotting against that person. So the Rambam, so if you read this halacha, so the Rambam seems to say that you have even by a preventive, because what did the Rambam say? If you know somebody who is going to attack somebody else and you don't stop him, So then you have to say you're over alotam adam ve'alcha. So here the Rambam seems to tell us that preemptive should be allowed. You have a right to stop a forthcoming attack. You have an obligation to stop a forthcoming attack. And yet the Chazunish says not like that. So it seems to say Rambam seems to say beferish not the Chazunish. Obviously the Chazunish knew the Rambam. So if you take a look, if you see how the Rambam sets it up, he breaks up into two sections. The first section he talks about v'yachol atzilahu ba'at, you're able to save him, you're able to hire someone to save him, you have obligation to physically get involved. The second part that he talks about is only to dissuade the person. He does not talk about using any physical measures, any measures of attack to stop the person. He doesn't say, tie down that person, hold him back, hurt him. You can't do that. You're allowed to try to dissuade him and influence him not to follow through with his planned attack and to plot against somebody else. But doesn't talk any place against actually being preemptive and going on the offensive to prevent that from happening. So if the Rambam, what we wanted to suggest a minute ago, is really not so accurate. Indeed, it seems to follow the Chazon Ish that a preemptive attack would not be allowed. But having said that, we're going to use actually an idea from the Chazon Ish himself that possibly shed a different perspective. The Chazon Ish notes a very fascinating thing. If you go back in Hilchos Malachim, so just to backtrack for a second, we know when the Torah talked to us about people going to war, and the Gemara then discussed who does and who does not, and what type of war is it applicable. So seemingly, it's really one mitzvah, it's really one discussion. Seemingly, the discussion of who goes to war is really based on what type of war it is. So when the Torah told us that you have certain people have an obligation and certain people don't have an obligation to participate, and the Gemara qualified for us what type of wars that's talking about, that's all one discussion. Yet the Rambam, the Chazish notes that the Rambam broke them up. Take a look at what we put in Hilchos Malachim, where the Rambam writes clearly that he's not talking about who goes to war. He's only talking about the wars themselves. Only later on in Perek Zayin, two Prakim later, the Rambam then talks about who has to go to war, which is an anomaly because indeed if it's one theme, they should have been put together. But by the fact that the Rambam separated them, by the fact that the Rambam Hilchos Malachim only talked about the war, and then later on in Perek Zayin in chapter 7, he then applies that discussion to people which the Torah is talking about, it seems from the Rambam that there are really two different discussions. And this is an observation that Chazon Ish makes. But I want to take that observation and use it to go for a step further. What the Rambam is telling us is that there's the discussion about wars, the independent discussion within itself. And we have to understand that each type of war is not besides just who has to go to war, but we have to understand what defines a war and what are the parameters of a melchama and what are the halakhic guidelines for each of those melchamas. So what I want to suggest within the Rambam is saying the following. The first, if we talk about melchamas mitzvah, which is the very beginning, and if you take a look again in Hilchos Malachim, so the Rambam defines two types of Hilchos Malachim, three types of melchamas mitzvah. One is fighting the seven nations, and was Muhammad al-Malik. Those are the first two. Those two are definitely categories of going into attack, going on the offensive. We have an obligation to go enter to the land and kick out the seven nations if they don't want to acquiesce or to join us or to leave. We have a mitzvah deraisa to fight against Muhammad al-Malik, to kill them out. And then the Rambam adds a third category, v'ezet Yisrael miyad tzar sheba aleihem. Now, if the Rambam wanted to distinguish and say that one is offensive and one's only defensive, he should have said something. By the mere fact that he put them together as one, hints very strongly that they have the same standards. And that just like the mitzvah of capturing the land and fighting the seven nations, and just like the melchama of Amalek is a proactive offensive attack, so too we can assume that the Rambam was applying the same standard when he talked about the next, I'm allowed to stop somebody from attacking me. Now, does that necessarily mean preemptive? You could arguably say, well, yes, because that's not else is not similar to the first two. But I want to add something even further. A stronger proof that if the Rambam only meant to say, as it is really referring to a mechama, that when you are under attack already, if that's all he meant to say, then that's not a chiddush. Because that the Rambam already told us in Hilchos Retzeach, that if a person is attacking another Jew, you have obligation to stop him. So once we are under attack, we have an obligation to fight back. You have an obligation to defend, definitely, if not yourself, definitely another Jew. And if you don't, you're transgressing a law. So there's no reason for the Rambam Hilchos Melachim to tell me, oh, if you're under attack and you're being attacked by another nation, you have a mitzvah to fight back. I know I have a mitzvah to fight back. Just forget about the laws of Melchama. I have a mitzvah because of the Lotam Radam Riach, I have a mitzvah because of a Rodev. So clearly that's an obligation that's pre-existing already. So why would the Rambam create a whole new category called Ezes Yisrael Miyad Sar Shibam Aleim, not discussed in the Mishnah, not discussed in the Gemara, and put it together with Hilchos Melachim? It must be because the Rambam is telling us that there's a new category called preemptive attack. Shiva Aramim is an obligation because HaKadosh Baruch Hu told us we have to capture the land. Mechama Samalek is an obligation because HaKadosh Baruch Hu told us we have to wipe out a Malek. But there's a new category where we are allowed to go on the offensive. And even though we are not being, there's not a direct commandment from HaKadosh Baruch Hu to engage in this type of war, but if we are forced, and because we recognize that there's a threat hovering over the Jewish people. We're not engaged in war already. We're not being attacked already, because that would be Hilchos Rodev. That would be Lotam Radam Riacha. But there's another concept called preemptive attack, and I think that's what the Rambam is permitting and telling us. Now, if that's the case, you can ask, then why did the Rambam say in Hilchos Retzeach that did not talk about preemptive? On the contrary, we said earlier that when the Rambam talks about stopping somebody from going to war, so that from attacking, that's only if you could dissuade them. The Rambam didn't seem to say when it comes to that situation, you can physically attack somebody. So I want to suggest there are two distinctions. Number one, you could probably make a distinction between what's called the individual or the nation. When a nation is being threatened, when both the Jewish people as a nation and the land of Israel is under attack, so that's one quality that allows us to preempt that, as opposed to when you know there's a personal attack, when someone's going to be fighting against somebody else who wants to hurt somebody else, you may not have the mitzvah to preempt and go physical against the attacker. That can only be done when they're actually attacking, because somebody may decide to change his mind. The person who's plotting may change his mind. You cannot physically attack them. That'd be one distinction. But I want to add also more halachic distinction. And that is that when it talks about going to Mechama, so we know, as we mentioned already earlier, that there are two already established, two mitzvos, the araisa of going to war. Both, when it comes to attacking the seven nations, Hachre and Tachrim, there's a mitzvah to wipe out the seven nations. There's a mitzvah to wipe out a Molech of Mocha Timcha. You have a mitzvah araisa. So those two mitzvos are positive mitzvos, mitzvot asei. So once we see that war, the concept of going to Mechama has to it a mitzvah asei, so we can apply that mitzvah asei to another category of war, which is called preemptive war. It's not just defensive, it is also offensive, but once we recognize that going to war already has the concept of a mitzvah deraisa, so we can just extend that mitzvah deraisa to another type of war, preemptive. As opposed to Hilchos Retzeach, when it comes to Lotam Radam Riach, it's only a lotastei. It's only you're not allowed to stand by watching it happen, but there is no mitzvah asei to actually be preemptive and attack. So those two distinctions is reason why the Rambam, when it comes to war, allows for a preemptive attack, as opposed to a personal attack of a rodif, as Tobah Hilchos Retzeach, does not allow it. So based on what we're saying, we conclude to be very different than the Chazon Ish. So, obviously, mi ani, to even think about saying something that would differ from the Chazon Ish, but I found, Baruch Hashem, a commentary that says the same idea. Not the same lamdas, but the same halacha. One of the great Gedolei Yisrael was, his name was David Hirsch Frankel. He was a great German Gaon, and he was very famous for his commentary called the Korban HaEda. Korban HaEda is his Pirush on the Yerushalmi. And the reason why it's such a valuable commentary is because there are no Rashis on Yerushalmi. As one Gadol once said, if you want to appreciate Rashi in the Bavli, try to learn the Yerushalmi. So the Korban HaEda took upon himself to create some type of commentary that opened up, gave us a little bit of ability to understand the Yerushalmi. So after he wrote his initial Pirush, he added an addendum called the Shir HaEda. And in that commentary, which is just a secondary commentary on the Yerushalmi, and in that Pirush, he writes the following. That which the Bavli says, that our goal is to stop the going from coming upon us. This is not like, don't interpret it, don't explain it like when the great Rishay in the Knesset HaGedolah explains that's only meant to teach us that we're permitted to do that when we are already under attack, like the Chazanish as well wanted to say. That's not the pshat, he says. Do not interpret when the Gemara said that we're allowed that the concept is the mute to prevent. Don't mean prevent only when they're under attack. But he says more than that. He says Ela Pirush rather means she'oisel mechoma im shcheinav. You're allowed to go to war against your neighbors. Sheish lacho shebereiv yam yasu imal mechoma. If you have reason to suspect that within X amount of days they're going to attack you. And therefore you should preempt and get engaged and go toward them first. Lim'atem, to minimize them, to weaken them. They should not have the strength. Lover al Yisrael, to come onto Bnei Yisrael and to attack us and to cause us damage or loss. This is very clear from the terminology, the way that Yashas are Bavli. And the words are very clear without any hesitation. So this Pirush, Shir HaEda, the author of Korban HaEda, says outright very clearly that when the Gemara talks about, and therefore we can assume the Rambam as well, talks about the concept of Lem'ute, to minimize, or Ezra Yisrael, to help Klal Yisrael, is not just only in defense, as the Chazon Ish wanted to say, but even, as when we are under attack already, but even in a sense of preemptive, to spare us any possible harm and to save the Jewish people and the Jewish land. Thank you so much for listening.